I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's episode 161 of Please Advise. I still have a sinus infection, and guess what? If you like the sound of my sinus infection, you're in for a treat, because my guest has one too. It's Stephen Myers, aka Toasty Cakes, which, if you call him that in real life, I will dislike you. Stephen, how you doing?
None of my real friends call me Toasty Cakes.
I know. It really bothers me when I see people call you Toasty Cakes.
I love it. I mean, it's like a really easy litmus test.
Who your friends are.
Like, come up to me and say, hey, Toasty Cakes, so I know not to answer.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I'm just a party, like, photographer, too. I'm not, like, a real fucking person.
Nothing about me is a real person.
You're a real person. You're a softy. You know,
well,
I know
soft.
That. Yeah. I was saying to you that I hope I have a kid. I hope if I have a kid, it's like you, and you were like, it'll hurt coming out, which I don't know why I thought that was. I literally in that moment imagined myself giving birth to you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would hurt.
C-section.
I mean, any kid would hurt. Mm. By the way, can I tell you something? That our last guest, I think, was underwhelmed by this piece of information, but my friend Karen, who I've known forever since like...
Hey, Karen.
Hey, Karen. Karen with a Y. Karen Morelli Jonas. She married another one of my really good friends from college. They had a baby. And this week I was like Instagramming about my sinus infection because I need attention. And she like literally like, I messaged you on Instagram, but I know you're not going to check that. So I just wanted to make sure you know that like you're probably going to have an OD of acetaminophen if you take all that medicine. I was like, I wasn't going to take it all at once. But like now that we're here, what do you know about sinus infections? And she's like, had them my whole life. She's like, she's from Florida, so I can only imagine that like everything is just worse in Florida because it's so fucking unbearably hot. So
mostly the people, but also everything else.
Totally. It's like just no offense to any of our listeners in Florida. You know, it's inherently
people in Florida
trash.
Don't know how to read or listen.
Did you know? Hold on, I'll tell you something after. But I was like, Karen, like this is
Karen.
This is worse than childbirth, right? And she's like. Yeah, she's like literally yes, and she's like, I was like, I knew it.
Dude, don't say that on Twitter.
Oh, I know you'll be getting clapped back. Yeah. But I have to tell you, I think that anyone I know that's of they make sense in their life, they can organize information in a way that makes sense. They can recognize that childbirth is not the ultimate pain. And I honestly don't think anyone would. If I had to do this with what's happening with my face, if I had to do this for 9 months and then like probably a 16-hour delivery, I wouldn't do it.
Well, are you talking about like childbirth with an epidural or childbirth that's like in a pool in your house?
Oh, I
as an expert on childbirth, I think never being loved is the ultimate pain.
That's true. Actually, there you go. That's the damn truth.
If you're birthing a child, then there's a pretty good chance that you know, you're not in the pain that some
also
feel.
I think that a natural childbirth in a hospital probably hurts more than a pool birth at home. Because you're like, at least you're in like a tub of water, which I think the gravity of that makes it all easier or whatever. I
and
mean,
the self-satisfaction that you get is probably like can kind of overwhelm the pain.
Well, I also did watch a woman.
Yeah. I watched a woman give birth on YouTube with her 8 kids crowded around the pool.
What YouTube holes are you going down?
You don't want to know, girl. Like, you don't want to know. Do you know what Trisha Paytas is?
I don't know what the fuck
she's
you're talking
about. She's a
fucking
queen. Anyway, I was going to tell you something else. Wait a minute. Going back. Childbirth, Karen.
Are we going to do some more bits from before we were recording? That'll be funny.
No, it was... No, I wanted to tell you something else. It was about... You said something and I was like, oh, let me tell you.
We were talking about Florida and Jackie.
Oh, Florida.
And sinus infections.
Okay. So this is what I was going to tell you. I was like not that long ago dating someone from Florida and he didn't know. He knows like Florida man. He knows like the meme. But I was like, do you know why Florida man's a meme? And he was like... Because, like, a lot of shit happens in Florida. I'm like, no, because a lot of shit happens everywhere. What happens is that Florida, all the information is put on public record. So, like, there's meth heads, like, fucking raising crocodiles in their bathtub in, like, half the states of this nation. Just, there just is. But Florida has the unique distinction of having everything that happens in their police system go immediately on public record. So, people who write for, like, the Huffington Post are just mining stories, bizarre news stories from Florida news all the time. He had no idea what I was talking about. I was like, dude, look it up. Florida is one of the few states in this nation, which is why all this weird shit comes out of it. I think Michigan as well, which is why you hear a lot of weird shit about
Michigan. What else are you going to do with like a J degree from Brown than sit on the Florida like record and follow up on who did bath salts this week?
You're not going to get those clicks on your Sylvia Plath, you know, dissertation.
Yeah. No one cares about like your feelings for David Foster Wallace. They want to know how many crocodiles ate method.
You know, your Tumblr might care, but
that's the funny thing.
The
HuffPo,
they don't care.
Florida is like an analogy for 2018 because everyone thinks that the world's gone wild right now and everywhere we look, there's some like outrageous, crazy story. Like people weren't doing that shit in 1634. Like I promise you in 1897, someone was doing like a 69 in a fucking bathtub and slipped and ate a pigeon. But like you just read about it now because it's on record and then someone tweets about it. And then next thing you know, like the shrimp fried rice gets stolen out of the refrigerator.
Totally. Well, okay, that fucking sent shivers down my spine yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So I
was angry.
So for those of us who are not addicted to the internet out there, which, by the way, congratulations.
Incredibly timely to the past 18 hours also.
Congratulations on finding the podcast app, because a lot of people can't even do that.
Yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be like 2 weeks already.
But I think this brings up an interesting
topic.
Trump will
have already eaten someone's fried rice.
No, Trump will have like fucking gotten hit in the Oval Office on like live telebroadcast and like no one will.
It was on Facebook Live.
Don't be so normative.
People won't care. People will be like, whatever. Maybe he'll be going down on someone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's not maybe it's
sharing
not just him
caring.
His dick sucked. Like maybe he's like fully eating some badge. Maybe he's sucking a dick. I'm
These
not here to judge.
Aggressive mental images.
But regressive mental images.
Aggressive mental images.
I was like regressive as well. Yeah, sure. But for those of you who don't know, some guy yesterday, and I have been wondering because he says he's a comedian and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, like, of course your coworkers follow you on Twitter. Like, if you're like some average fucking guy who works in an office, your coworkers probably follow you on Twitter. So this guy that's like operating under his own name, I was like, this has to be
a bit,
right? Fabricated. But it's a visceral bit because anyone who's worked in an office environment or had roommates or like went to college or whatever knows that if you put something in the refrigerator, you're probably never going to see it again. And this guy apparently ordered like shrimp fried rice. And for some reason, he wanted to cool it down. That was a part of the story that I was like, huh? Like
cold shrimp?
Who's like oh, cold shrimp, I'll take. But like in a fried also, rice situation.
Well,
yeah.
So I think that the lie that our generation tells its children is that, well, there's lots, but pizza is better cold or good cold, because that's a fucking lie.
Yeah.
And get it out of your mouth. But Chinese food, I think, actually ages pretty well. Like, I think it cools well.
Like a fine wine.
I think, yeah, like a fine cheese.
I don't mind, like, a next day reheating. I think it does taste better, but I don't think it
tastes
better
cold. No, when that MSG,
cold.
Like, when the secret salt, like, coagulates and everything, I don't know. But
I like a cold lo mein. I'm not going to lie, but I do think it's weird to get a hot Chinese dish delivered to your office and be like, you know what this
means?
A little
hot Chinese snack?
A little hot Chinese snack comes in and you want to eat it like a snack. You don't want to eat it like a fucking cold ass plate of rice.
But so this dude, I have so many feelings about the smell of an office.
Puts like, his shrimp on ice.
No, there's a lot of reasons why people like us could never work in an office environment, like
smells.
HR alone. But the smell, like every time, you know, I have to visit an office or a client and I walk in and I walk past like Becky's hot reheat of her like Postmates from yesterday, I want to vom. Like the idea of hot smells in a normal space drives me bananas. It's like when someone opens up like their tuna tartare on an airplane and you're like,
oh.
What kind
of fucking
crime is this?
I would rather sit next to a cold ass tuna tartare on an airplane than a McDonald's, though. Is there anything more fucking self-involved than bringing a fucking steaming ass bag at McDonald's on a plane?
I had to sit next to a family of people. Like, two of them sat next to me. I had a window seat. And then the rest of them
Why do you
hate
families?
I don't know. Christina, why are you anti-family?
No, it was like a family.
Like you are
Let me finish.
Sorry.
It was a family of people who were eating Sbarro's.
Why do you
hate
Italians?
Not like pizza. It was like they're like
Sbarro fucking reeks.
It sucked so much.
It's like calzones and shit.
It was like a
calzones and a ranch.
It was a
that's the name of our new podcast, Calzones and Shit.
It was a calzone spaghetti marinara. Mm. Like it was it was the worst.
I like the flavor you just brought to marinara.
Yeah, right?
I'm an Italian
Mario
uncle.
Kart.
I live with Italian Americans in Brooklyn. Like I'm gonna pronounce it the way they do.
That's good. No, I like that. So this guy fucking is in an office, right? And he is like he's the spectator, and he's just like he's reporting on all this. So this woman, this guy brings his shrimp fried rice in the office. He wants to put it on ice, so he puts it in the fridge to cool down. So it had been there for about a half an hour. All of a sudden, the shrimp fried rice goes missing. He goes back to get his shrimp fried rice, not there. So, in a wild turn of events, HR is like, why don't you step into our office and review the security footage? Which seems like an aggressive move to me, and also wildly inappropriate. Like, that seems like legwork.
Right. I mean, that's white privilege.
They can do that legwork on their own. Like, also, I've like literally had issues with people coming into my apartment building before, and I know factually they dump that footage.
No one sees the fucking tape.
No.
Because that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
The tape's a fucking
like,
formality.
Someone's going to steal your shrimp fried rice, next thing you know, like you own the company.
I can't believe that they're like, let's roll the tape. Like, that's just a really, like, that's a stretch. And also feels like something that HR would do on their own and then approach the employee that desecrated the rice. So they bring the guy in. The guy learns who stole his shrimp fried rice. It's this female coworker who our tweeter happens to sit across from. Now, just to remind you, our tweeter is not the person who owned the rice, nor is he the person who took the rice.
So innocent bystander.
Innocent bystander, but happens to be like basically desk mates with this chick who stole the rice. So not only does everyone now know who stole the rice, but we know that she took it out of the fridge, like did a sniff test, and then threw it away and like put trash on top of it. So as someone who like definitely stole my roommate's cookie dough when I was high in college, this sent shivers down my spine for a variety of reasons. The main one being that like that was my nightmare, like in college, was that I was going to get found out for the one time I like ripped off someone's cookie dough in college. But I have a theory about this. Like, I think that honestly, she did not know. People are saying the rice must have still had a little bit of heat to it. Like, it probably couldn't have gotten, like, bone cold and, like, looked old as shit in, like, the half an hour that he had had it in the fridge. So she does the sniff test, throws it away. He knows this information. Now, at this point, this is where I started to think, like, this could be fake. He says that the guy who has... who knows this, the owner, the OG owner of the rice, he decides that he's not going to pursue further action, which he made sound like it was so actionable that she could be fired for this offense.
Well, you could be like, I don't know if we're going to spend 20 minutes on this fucking Twitter joke,
but we can.
So
this is the top line.
I want to get to the meat and potatoes of it.
Yeah.
Pardon that. But it just seems like this, you know, there's nothing better than when someone on Twitter with like 216 followers blows up and they get 400,000 retweets. Like literally this thing gets 169,000 likes because Lin-Manuel Miranda like reblogged it because he thought it was hilarious or whatever. And
I love that
something
that's
like
your go-to for like...
Well, you know, he's
not very, like a Chrissy.
He's having a moment.
Yeah, no. Speaking of having a moment, a Chrissy Teigen. But, you know, like when someone gets discovered and it's like organic, as we say in the biz.
Yeah.
As opposed to this dude, like as soon as I saw, I've got a story to tell, and you click on his profile, and he's got 18K followers, and he's a comedy writer working in L.A. It's like one, no one in L.A. eats Chinese food during lunch. But two, it's like this bro has like 18K followers and he's a comedy writer. And I know that he sat down. He's like, TGIF, I'm going to have my Mike Birbiglia moment. Like, I'm going to sketch out this long, drawn out, ridiculous story. Like the night before, he was sitting around watching some like boring ass Jim Gaffigan skit about like people in offices and their
food.
Right.
He's restudying Mr. Show.
Right. Meanwhile, he's like watching Julia and Julia or some like 90s Skinamax movie about like a three-way.
Right.
And he's like, okay, how can I put myself in this but like not implicate myself because that's too obvious? So I'm going to sit directly across from the offended party and directly next to the offender, and I'm going to tell this whole story, and I'm going to hit all these points because everyone knows what it's like to be in an office with Chinese food and the smell of the refrigerator, and it's something we can all relate to. It's like, what's the deal with airplanes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just was so... It was just, it had that smell of like prefabricated, like I'm having a moment.
Right.
And it lost me at that point. Like I was kind of along for the ride, but
when
all
it
of
got
the
to
nuances,
the point where he said, like, he decided not to have her fired, that I was just like, that seems large.
And
like, that's
why did she leave for 30 minutes and then come back? Like,
right. I was also like, maybe she ducked out of the office for the day because, like, it was because, like, someone was like, hey, do you want to come review the tapes in HR right now? I was like, yeah, I'm fucking, like, say, like, I have cramps and peace out if I had been.
And
the
she
right
has
sniffer.
No allies in that office. Like, there's no one who's, like, going to sneak away and be like, SOS.
That's
like, change
thing.
Your name, move to Florida.
There seemed to be no community in this fictional office.
Well,
space.
Evidently, there's a community against this woman, and maybe she was, like, a charlatan, and maybe she deserved
right.
it.
Right. It does also seem like a pack of chickens in there, though. Like, they all are like clucking.
That was my problem. It's like, why are you going to investigate and then say this woman did it behind her back if you're not going to directly confront her about
like the
it?
Whole office knows right. about it.
Yeah. Like, she should, the elevator door should open and someone, a female preferably, should just fucking like sock her in the face because that's how you address that.
Yeah.
No.
I'm like, yeah, Christina's like, absolutely not.
No.
I'm like, yeah, violence sounds right.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, because
violence against women is never something.
No, that's
so,
why I said
no,
a woman
we
is
don't
the one who did
especially
that.
In the Me
we
Too
don't,
era.
We know that. But, and I hope you know that at home. But the whole thing basically like boils over where it's like he's watching her open up the email from HR saying that a lunch had been taken, and she's like, playing it up like, wow, who would take a lunch? Like, that's like fucking crazy to take a lunch, which I think is what most people in this precarious situation would do, would just like double down and be the most offended in the room. It's a little bit of the whoever smelt it, dealt it like syndrome there. But like she apparently this whole thing goes down, and it kept just reminding me of, do you remember Elon Gale, the guy from the producer for The Bachelor, who tried to pull a similar stunt on a plane, where he was saying that this woman was loud and annoying on the plane. And then he started to kind of get really big with it. And it turned, and then someone decided to take the ball from him and be like, you were actually sitting next to my mother and she was coming home for her cancer treatment. Like, this could be her last Thanksgiving ever with our family. And like, we are online making fun of her and like making her life hell on this airplane. And then he had to admit that he made the entire thing up because the internet started to revolt against him and be like, Diane in seat 7B is my mom. And so all I was thinking was like, okay, we're either going to have someone come forward and be like, it was me. Because like, who gets as far as being a Twitter moment The guy has his own first and last name on his profile. He has a picture of himself that's like animated as his profile picture. If you're a Twitter moment, like, let's not act like this is the one office in San Francisco where no one has a fucking Twitter. Like,
right. What's I mean, everyone's hip to the joke, but, you know, moving past that, it's just the passive aggressiveness of the act. Because, like, I think that we've uncovered. I think that, like, we've done the Mythbusters on this, like, certified fake. But
I don't think a lot of people have realized that.
Well, a lot of people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people take everything literally.
So yeah.
And that's the problem with Twitter.
Well, I think he wanted people to take it literally.
And Florida.
And they did. Like, it.
No, of course they did, because, as you know, every story is best told in the first person. So
yeah.
That's what it was. But what it hit
he
in
stole
all
the
of us
rice.
Is that roommate moment, that office moment that I guess sad people who work in offices have to feel, of that passive aggressiveness of someone not even stealing your food. Because, like, there's also some bit of, like, wokeness to, well, if a person stole my food and they ate it, maybe they needed it more than me. And then that would be, like, a latched out thing that I think he clearly kind of rode around. Like,
yeah.
he put in the plot point where it wasn't someone who needed the food or deserved the food more. It was someone who was doing it out of spite. We've all had that roommate or been that roommate who takes something out of the fridge and throws it away. Or
well,
like,
the horror is you relate to every character in the story. You relate to having something stolen from you. You relate to being in a spot. Like, where I was thinking
office
it was like,
drama.
Maybe it's like, it was, I was thinking to myself, maybe it was during that 3 p.m. slump where you like want a snack, but you aren't going to order a fresh thing of like chicken to come to your office right now. So like, why? So like you go to the fridge and you see like, is there, did someone leave a fucking banana in here that looks like it's about to peace out? Like, is there maybe something in here that I can eat that's like not, that wasn't going to get claimed? And I was thinking maybe, okay, maybe she did it during that moment. But like, he got so specific to be like, he ordered it at noon. It was supposed to be cooled down by 12:30. By 12:30, the rice was gone. Like, that was, I mean, it was all just, it was a slam dunk on his end in terms of, like, he really fucking got off on his little narrative. I needed more
like
twists.
Chekhov's fried rice.
Yeah. I needed some more action.
I just needed to move on with my life.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on. Steven, what's new with you?
Nothing.
Going to Kochi?
Coke Smella.
Yeah.
Mm.
Are you going?
You know, I for 15 years straight, I've said, this year I'm not going to go. And I'm going to say, this year I'm not going to go. And, you know,
are you going to lean
call
into
you from
your
Jeremy Scott's party
and just admit that you're a piece of shit and that you go to Coachella every year?
You know, I have no reason to go, but who does? You know?
Well, you're a photographer. You need to go take pictures of 18-year-olds with their fucking pussies out in a pool.
You think I can't do that? I can do that in a block from here.
No, I know.
Do
literally.
3 minutes. I can have an 18-year-old with her pussy out right here.
Yeah. I mean, why not? It is Glendale after. I don't know what that means. It is Glendale.
It is Glendale.
Plenty of pussy up here.
No, you know, it's one of those things where all of the feelings of corporate takeover and how basic it is and how ridiculous it is and how no one has any fun and how it's become so commercial and all of that all kind of gets overrode by the idea of sitting around at 3 p.m. on a Saturday, opening up Instagram or whatever, Twitter even, and just seeing everyone else somewhere that I'm not.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like I'm an orphan who lives alone and doesn't have any family or anyone who loves me. And
I love you.
Yeah, right. And so every Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthday, I wander the streets of LA knowing that people are with their families and loved ones and they're home somewhere in this like Diane Keaton kitchen nook, like eating this well-prepared meal, fighting over their like gay nephew or whatevs. And like, I don't get to experience that. And
I relish in the fact that I have basically no family.
Right. Well,
like
so do I.
Alone. I look forward to being alone all day tomorrow on Easter.
There's no better feeling than driving on the streets of LA on Christmas Day and not a single car in sight, or driving out to Malibu on the Super Bowl and all the assholes that make the beach horrible on a Sunday are at home like eating Cheetos and watching some fucking game and you get to enjoy it. But I don't know. I have this like imperative, and it sounds so stupid and ridiculous, but I do want to be there to document it and to see people. And like, if I go the whole weekend and I get this one picture that like epitomizes the moment, it's this kind of Keith Haring thing that I've always had and always felt of, I'm going to be gone at some point and I hope that the moments I capture, the pictures I take, the those little, you know, artifacts of history are going to live on. So it's like, that's my drive. That's what gets me out there.
Yeah, I will throw out this, though. And I think this is one place you and I really differ, is that I have decided that if I'm going to be alone on a holiday, I'm not going to be with anyone else's family. Like, I'm going to be alone. Either. Like,
I get all these invites and I'm like, I'm not going to go and sit at your table and be like your charity case. No.
Or like, I just like, if I've relieved myself of the pain of having and the stress of having to be with my own family, I'm not going to go watch your parents fight. Like, yeah. I'm not going to go like deal as your mom passive aggressively puts out whatever you eat, like, and have to fucking sit there. And it's always weird to be around other people's home cooking. It's weird to be around just other people's fucking creepy ass uncle. And like, if I don't want to make small talk with my own fucking birth relatives, then I certainly don't want to talk to your Uncle Jim. Like,
yeah, it's like you're always on and you're always just like eccentricity. And especially people like us who are like really like important and fabulous, we have to go in the room and know that like this is going to make someone's holiday. Like my presence
here to fall back.
Is going to, well, I like to, but yeah. I think that, again, it's kind of like our duty to show up and light up their life.
It is hard to be the guest.
And like, yeah, you have to show up like a fucking like minstrel act, like you're a big old carnival circus. Like, hey, look at me. I'm the big, weird, silly guy. Oh, hey, I take pictures. I'm in LA. Yes, that's me.
See, I'm the person that's like, I want to be extra quiet. And then like, I get annoyed by small talk. So I'm like, you know, there's other people here you'd rather do this with. Like, we both know that you don't really want to talk to me. And that's okay. Like, by the way, I've reached great comfort in knowing that you and I don't want to talk to each other. Like, it's okay. Like, you'll probably never see me again. And if you do, it'll be at another thing like this. And like, acting like you care about what's going on in my work life or my romantic life is really just a formality that you feel you have to do. Whereas I've come to peace with the fact that we don't give a shit about each other.
Yeah, we're never going to see each other again. Like, you don't need to know about my hobbies or what I've got coming up.
Oh,
or what's
yeah.
new with me. Or if there's any love in my life.
I like, don't need to
it's
know.
It's none of your fucking business.
Yeah.
And also, like, what are you going to do? Fucking go update my Wikipedia page? Like,
right. It also sucks, too, if you do anything remotely creative. Like, I'm sure you probably get, like, little soft asks to go take pictures of someone's niece or whatever.
Soft asks? You mean
hard
asks? Yeah. Like, I go to the Indian restaurant down the street and the woman comes over and asked me if I'll take pictures of her family for a discount on my like lunch buffet.
Yeah.
Dead serious. So,
yeah.
Like I can't go anywhere without, oh, hey, my whole family is going to be in town on Thanksgiving and we're going to be showing the love for each other. And so since you're alone and you have like this empty shell of an existence, why don't you like take a little like window from 4 to 4:15 to come over and like document us.
Yeah. That's people don't realize in LA too. It's like the ultimate scam. People are like so young when they come here and they're so stupid. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like you should be young and stupid when you move here. That's the only way you're going to fucking survive. But I think that it's like, you get these asks when you are a young writer or something where it's like some 80-year-old person in Beverly Hills is like, come write down like my life story. Maybe you can put it into a movie. And it's like, you realize you're doing all this like fucking spec work on some person's life story that will never amount to anything. And you've just like put, you know,
it's like, yeah, if your life was worth telling, someone from CAA would have already approached you.
Right. Exactly. Like,
you don't have an interesting story because if you did, you wouldn't still have an interesting story.
There are a few untold stories. Exactly. Right.
But it is crazy like that. Like there's always someone, oh, you're a writer. Yeah. Come over and let me tell you about the time I met this guy who met Dolly Parton once.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, you're a photographer. I saw your billboard on Sunset Boulevard of, you know, this Victoria's Secret model in her underwear. Do you think you can come over and like take a headshot for me? Because I'm thinking about getting into acting. My son loves cameras. Maybe you can hang out with him show him.
Everyone thinks that like you're looking for a hang. And it's like, dude, no, man. Like, sorry, just because I'm here on Easter eating from your fucking dining room table doesn't mean that like I really want to spend time with your like nephew. And it's just so stupid. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I've been expecting you to get Me Too'd and I'm really happy you haven't been. Have you been? I mean, I haven't been expecting it, but I've been expecting that more photographers would be a part of this Me Too thing. Especially in the line of work you do.
The way that you said that, because certain, no. So right off the top, have not been Me Too'd. I will not be Me Too'd. And I
so would never be
no,
Me Too'd.
No,
you're appropriate.
I'm appropriate. And
you're
like,
a loudmouth.
I think that people, I hope that people know that about me, that I'm a fucking obnoxious asshole, but also I have nothing but respect for everyone,
your
but
president.
Also women, and mostly my president, Obama. Fucking. Not my president. Voted for Hillary and fuck all those Bernie people. Leave this in.
I know,
and,
right?
Like, honestly, like, how could you be more selfish? Right. Like, drive your fucking G-Wagon over to No Name, the private club in the middle of L.A., so you can have a fucking Bernie Sanders fundraiser with Emily Ratajkowski, you selfish piece of shit.
Yeah.
But, so I take myself seriously. I've spent my life being very respectful of women.
I tried to say that as straight-faced as possible.
Partially, but partially because I hate myself so much. Like, I know no one wants anything to do with me. Like, if a girl wants something to do with me, she has to, like, hit me over the frying pan and throw me into a hot tub. Like,
it's true.
That's what it takes. So
remember that one girl? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other one, too.
Yeah.
But... yeah, so that's that, and also longevity in this. I mean, I guess that's not true, but I've always personally felt, and maybe I made a mistake, I thought that I would have to take my job seriously and take myself seriously if I wanted to stick around in this business for a while. I guess other people out there running wild like a bunch of fucking frat bros. But the reason I gave you the look when you asked is we were talking about Coachella, and I thought you said, are you going to get Me Too'd? Like, I was going to hook you up with cocaine.
Oh, no.
And I was like, whoa. This really got aggressive fast.
I think I'm going to be in Japan for
cocaine?
For Coachella. No, actually. In fact, I'm like, no, actually.
No, they've got
I'm
lots of opioids there.
No. Oh, yeah.
Mainline
by the way,
DMT.
How do you hit up the opioids in Japan?
Oh, it's easy. I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah, tell me off mic because I would love to get into some opioids in Japan. But it's so interesting because I always travel, like, whether I intend to or not, with, like, a weed pen or something. But I've been so conscious of anything I've even remotely thought about bringing to Japan, of, like, having
it. Oh, yeah, you don't
want to
get Singapore'd over there.
No, like, literally, like, a joint is the worst thing you can have, to the point where it's, like, there are businessmen who pass out in the street from drinking every single fucking night. Like, Japan is known for just having drunk people everywhere, especially guys come into town. Like, it's like a big formality where you have to entertain these businessmen. My stepdad was like, you know, God knows. But there was, you know, you have to entertain businessmen when they come into town. And so it's very, very common that these guys get quickly overserved. They overdrink, they blow it out. And there are men passed out in the street from drinking. But if you get caught with a single joint, you're dead. Like,
right. I mean,
death
it's like
row.
It's like America in the 60s or 90s or who knows when. It's like Footloose. It's like, yeah.
Some parts of the country, if you're still black. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul McCartney got into serious trouble for bringing, like, weed to, yeah, to Japan.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
yeah.
a huge deal.
But in America, in a lot of places right now, like, you can go to your evangelical church and, like, hang out with your bros and drink, like, a rack of High Life.
Right.
Go home and, you know, do whatever. And if your daughter brings up, like, her jewel, then you send her off to fucking reprogramming camp. Like,
yeah,
that it's a weird, weird world we live in. Like, this one thing is acceptable, but this other thing isn't. I don't know. I don't smoke weed and I don't care. But
yeah,
I think the thing about that, though, like, the looking for a joint, like, you don't take your weed or your opioids to Japan. Like,
no,
you just walk through a poppy field.
No,
but that's, you know, I want to circle back to the sinus infection where we started all this. And
yeah.
Jackie, part of not taking all the steroids and antibiotics in the Z-packs, and part of me not wearing jackets when it's sub-freezing temperatures out,
yeah,
or not being into weed or even painkillers, like, my leg is killing me because I fell off a skateboard, but I'm not gonna, like, take an aspirin because I don't like the feeling of pain, I don't like the feeling of cold, but I am okay with feeling uncomfortable, if that makes sense. Like, I'm,
oh,
like, pushing it back a level because, you know, you don't want to be the person who goes into a space and you need all these things. Like, you need all this accoutrement. Like, oh, I need lotion to beat off and I need a fucking Vicodin to go to bed. Like, that's not a good life to live.
I'm in a constant state of discomfort. It's rare that I even take, like, a leave to help my period cramps. I normally don't care, and I will ride something out to the point that it's like, not, I'm not even writing it out. Like, I'm just keeping myself in a perpetual place of pain. My whole thing with this, and I really mean it, is that this is the most intense, severe pain I've ever felt in my life. This morning I woke up and I had regressed somehow. I managed to like pass out and then like come back to life a little bit, like around 11. But I woke up at 6 a.m. in like piercing pain. I took 2 Advil, felt nothing. It's really the most unbearable pain. And
no, it's miserable. It's pretty bad.
The only reason why I'm really like really being active about this, because normally, you know me, I will let something sit for like months. I would really just like sit around in pain and avoid the doctor. I hate the doctor. I fucking hate them.
No, I'm the same. Like I have friends who will, you know, they get a paper cut and they go to Cedars ER. And for me, it's like I'll live with something for 9 months. Like I'll wake up with a 220 BPM heart rate and my leg throbbing and like bone sticking out. It's like I'm going to, you know, let's see.
I
trust doctors about as much as I trust the police.
I said that to my friend Karen. I was like, it's not like we are for any lack of decent medical help in LA. Like I would love to be one of those people that just like pops into the dermatologist 3 times a week, or like literally I've never even been to a fucking dermatologist. I have never been to most of these doctors that everyone I know will people are like, I go to see my allergist. I'm like, what the fuck is an allergist?
Yeah,
like
fuck your allergist, fuck your orthopedic surgeon, fuck your
I'd
ENT,
rather someone just like, punch me in the face and knock me out till it's gone.
And in this era of Me Too, we don't.
Oh, punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, unless it's another woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I know. Christina's like, I've been trying to get in there for a while.
Scandalous.
But yeah, we're going to take our calls. But I will say that, like, one, you and I are chronic martyrs.
Right. I mean, yeah. Why do I need to go and get a pill prescription? I get to complain everywhere I fucking go.
Right. Exactly. Just like Molly. Oh, the patron saint of like not taking care of herself.
Yeah. It's like, how about you take a pill and shut the fuck up?
Yeah, I know.
They prescribe that.
Really waiting for my big accolades in heaven for being a fucking pussy. But anyway.
Your vagina monologues, but of your soul.
True life. Let's take our phone calls and see if we can find people who are more pathetic than us.
Likely.
Okay.
Hey, Malls, Christina, guests, and Wags. Okay, so before I get to my question, so I don't get roasted for calling about something stupid, this is like, you know, because you guys need calls, but also it is kind of, like, I've been thinking about it, and it's weird. So I hate Taylor Swift a lot. I've gone through phases where I kind of liked her, and then I didn't like her, and then I hated her. But I really like that freaking new song, Delicate. And I just moved to a new city, and I've been interviewing for jobs, and I haven't really had much luck, like, with anything. And then right after I started listening to that song, I got these like scheduled for phone interviews, and then I started listening to that song right before the interview. I'm getting like super pumped up, and I've been getting like callbacks, and like I don't want to like talk too much about it, but I got like booked for like contract work because I interviewed for this spot and then they needed a project, and it's like a really huge like giant ass company. So I don't know, it's like really weird. So I feel like now I kind of need to listen to Taylor Swift to keep my success up. And I don't know. I think that being superstitious is stupid, but I'm also like really superstitious because now every time I have an interview or something, I feel like I need to have Taylor Swift blasting on repeat to get myself pumped up. So yeah, what do you do when something that you like morally hate is like, I don't know. It probably has nothing to do with it. But anyway, I hate Taylor Swift, but I feel like her music is helping me right now. So if there's any sort of advice or thoughts on that, thanks. Bye.
Like, what did Taylor Swift do to you? I guess that's my biggest question is like, I understand being annoyed with someone and not liking their music. Yeah. But like, you know, Taylor's also someone that's had many phases in her career. So as she's moved more into the pop sphere, I would say that it's probably more likely that her music would appeal to you. And I think a lot of the stuff out there about her is like not the problem with Taylor Swift.
Well, I mean, roll it back for a second. One, like, you should be so lucky to have us roast you. Like, people pay to have us roast
them. It's not good enough to roast.
Honestly, you're not good enough to roast. Like,
no, the problem isn't.
Like, she'll punch Molly in the face for funds because we're friends, but like, ladies and gentlemen will pay this woman to punch her in the face. Like, and you should be so fucking lucky. But also, like, that just speaks to, like, I don't, using the word basic is basic, but like, oh my God, I don't, like, not liking Taylor Swift because you think it's basic is the ultimate basic, because like what you fucking like, man. Like, what, that's, are you going to go truth. To, like, put on a fucking Arcade Fire cassette tape and sit me down and, like, tell me how important it is to your life? Like, put on Steely Dan and, like, explain, like, how fucking you really have these deep feelings about whatever? Like, that's stupid. Like, be your own person, like your own thing, and like, have, like, the superstition part is what it is. I mean, no one wants to believe that they're superstitious, but they are. Yeah. Everyone has those things.
Everyone has their hang-ups.
And that's fine. Like, be Joe Namath. Don't change your socks. If it gets you jazzed for the gym, like, I don't know, man. I'll put on Shake It Off when I need that, like, last 4 minutes of cardio. Like, it gets me there.
Oh, I thought you meant the Bella Thorne show. I was like, Stephen, that's why does that pump you up? Well, I don't want to know.
I remember Bella before she was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. But she's not cool. But that's the thing is, you know,
I,
like,
enjoy her.
Taylor or Bella?
I enjoy
both of them.
Bella's,
like,
journey on Instagram.
Taylor gave me a guitar pick at a Skybox at the Staples Center one night.
This is the problem with Steven.
That's
is
the
it
problem
becomes
with Steven.
Really unrelatable real quick.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to make everything about me, but I'll definitely make this about me.
But
she's fine. Like, I mean, she.
Well,
can I
ask a real question? Okay. Let's just boil this down to the meat and potatoes for me of the whole Taylor Swift issue is, why don't you, like, what has she ever fucking done to you? She's never written a song about you. I don't think she's put her politics in your face. I don't think that she's drawn any fucking hard lines. I think
she
that
hasn't put any politics in anybody's
face. Well, yeah. She did donate to the march. That was her first, like, political move. Yeah. Besides, I think, donating to Kesha's defense, which I don't think is necessarily a political move as much as it's, like, just a woman move. And I think that she's done some things that, if anything, are probably better for the greater good than not. She donates a lot of money to charity. I just don't know, like, did you fuck Jake Gyllenhaal and, like, have to deal with the fallout of her writing a song about him? Or like
but yeah, it's why are you tearing this person down for no reason? Like, she didn't do anything to you. There's nothing wrong with her.
I'm not, like, hearing any, like, the Apple Music letter.
Like, at, like, all the trendiest fucking Android clubs, someone is going to be putting on Taylor Swift the way that we put on TLC right now, because I can tell you, in 1994 people were like, oh my God, this Spice Girl shit, well, that was 1997, but like, this Spice Girl shit is mad basic, like, no one wants to listen to this, you're a loser for being trendy. And now, like, all the, like, most lit weirdo kids are like, oh my God, check me out, I've got an animated gif of my face and, like, I listen to Spice Girl. So like, be on board with it, just like what you like, and you're not going to impress anyone with the things you like.
Especially if it's working for
you. If that's the most
you.
Important thing about you is the shit you like, then
or the
you
shit
need
you
to
don't
get,
like.
Or the shit you don't like, you need to get a life.
I think we moved past that point in culture where you can be like, I listened to Arcade Fire before you even knew who they were.
Well,
no,
those people
I
are
mean,
also
it's that
losers.
Era of new sincerity. It's like when we hit that point, like, the word irony was so used and abused that I think that people started to say, like, the fact is that irony is not much less of a concept, is less of a concept than you think, because people aren't ironically going to medieval times. Like, part of them genuinely fucking enjoys that.
Right.
And yeah. Or people aren't ironically going to, like,
like,
you know,
no one ironically runs a marathon. No one's like, I'm going to ironically.
Let me throw this out there. I went to a concert several years ago that was, like, Sugar Ray, Smash Mouth, Everclear, lit. Okay, that was the bill, all right? And, like, yes, did we all go? Were we like, L-O fucking L, like, Sugar Ray? Like,
and then it
will
comes
I?
On and you're, like, humming along. You're like, let's, it'll be
I
crazy,
just
want to
fly,
silly.
Bitch. Like, yeah. I just want to fly. Mark McGrath, my
oh,
dude.
My God, like, wouldn't it be wild if we,
been?
Like, listen to the tape on the way and, like, drink some St. Ives in the car?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be so crazy. And, like,
you
oh my God, I totally know all the lyrics,
baby,
to All Star.
Lit.
Ironically, because, like,
actually lit.
Yeah, it was
and
fucking
Mark
lit.
McGrath, like, killed it on Celebrity Jeopardy also. So,
yeah.
You know, go Trojans.
Like, you know, just mad respect. Like, honestly, I have to say, like, all that shit that's just, I'm going to go to the 1989 or the fucking Reputation tour. I'm absolutely going to the Rose Bowl because, one, like, why would I miss that? If I have the opportunity to go, like, my friend got me a ticket. If I have the opportunity to go to that, I'm not going to not go because I have some sort of social reservation about about it or whatever. Like anything that's kind of legendary or iconic or of your time that you can attend or that you can listen to or partake in, you're a fool not to do it because these moments pass us by and then all of a sudden you're the motherfucker sitting there with your thumb up your ass being like, yeah, I had a ticket to the original Woodstock, but I didn't go because, you know, hippies are fucking gross. Like,
so then, are you saying the rest is still unwritten?
I would say that the rest is still unwritten for sure. Like,
no, but 100 on the
feel
Woodstock
the rain
note,
on your
like,
skin,
just
bitch.
Just feel that rain.
Yeah.
Like, go to Taylor Swift because everyone wants to think they're hip. Like, oh my God, I'm going to go see the reunion of Guns N' Roses now that they're all in Cialis. Like,
also, like,
don't
no one
fucking
else
see
can
Guns
feel
N'
it
Roses
for you.
In 2016.
Only you can let it in.
Like, well, that's problematic.
No one else can speak the word on your lips.
Yeah. So
the rest is
live
unwritten.
Your life with
no,
eyes open.
Yeah, exactly that. But to bring it back, honestly, like, don't go see the Rolling Stones on their, you know, 2012 tour of geriatric like bullshit. Go and see them when they're cool and fresh. Like, it's kind of
or
like
do all of it
or do all of it. But be,
do it all.
Yeah,
baby.
Go enjoy it when it's new, when it's a thing, and then like get that concert tee so that your kids will have something ironic to wear.
Totally. And by the way,
oh,
they'll
yeah,
because
that shit cycles back. All those kids are wearing like fucking Limp Bizkit t-shirts now.
I have
like,
legitimately.
Do you know how often I think about what my mother must have been thinking when I legitimately came home from the mall, went up to my room, and popped in that Best of Culture Club CD? Like what my mom's thought process
like,
would have
you,
been? Which
your
is
mom
like,
said, "Do you really want to hurt me?"
This is party music that I ran from in my college years, and now my teenage daughter has gone out, sought out Culture Club on her own.
And you're like, fucking Husker Du kind of rocks, mom. Like,
yeah,
fall back.
Fucking get involved. But
well, Wags loves Culture
yeah,
Club.
Yeah, not only does Wags stop. Not only does all this stuff come back around, but like you are allowed to like what you like. Like, what's the, and also, but more importantly, what's the really, I beg of you of this. Call me back 323-450-7408. What is your political stance on Taylor Swift? Why is this? It reminds me of like, okay. When Britney Spears first came out, I was 14 years old, and I was delusional and thought in my mind that she was my direct competition for boys. Like, I was like, I mean, look, like, guys in my class want Britney Spears. I want them to want me. That is a threat to me. I do not like Britney
Spears.
That dude's
totally not going to bone me because, like, Britney might show up to the party at 11:48.
Britney could show up to the party and fucking take her top
off.
Yeah,
and he's holding out.
And he's going to be like, Miles doesn't have tits. Britney does. I'm out. And, like, that was my train of thought. It was because I was 14 and I just started my period a year prior and I was a fucking idiot. So I want to know from you. Because as I will say, now you guys know me as a Britney stan, and it's because I grew up, I fucking realized her cultural significance. I felt deep compassion for her. I realized that I had been a fucking teenage idiot with just an odd bias against a pop star because for some reason I thought she was going to take some cock out of my life that I wasn't even getting. And I need to know from you, why, for what? What does this hatred fuel in you?
Yeah. I
Tell
think being
me.
A teenager is kind of about being self-centered that way. Maybe that's being a teenager is everything.
This is a grown ass woman.
Oh, well, that's sad.
She's out there on the job
right.
force.
Wait, well, some people never.
Can you imagine an active Taylor Swift hater getting a job over you? Like someone like you didn't get
but
a
also,
job.
Also, like if this woman gets this job at this supposedly big company that she's vying for, like. You get on your fucking hands and knees and kiss the ground that Taylor walks
sure.
on. You didn't get that job. Taylor got you that job.
Okay, girl. It's delicate.
Do you have a song that like pumps you up for something? Like whether you're going out or
it depends
you have an important interview.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Real? Not yet.
I will say Steve Winwood's Higher Love. Whenever that comes out in the car, I'm ready to fucking just
Dude,
punch
you know
the
what?
Out with joy.
Honestly, take me there because Peter Cetera.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Anything.
I'm not even white, but we couldn't be more white. I'm just like, fucking put on Kiri right now. When that shit fucking bangs, like roll down your windows and just let it go.
Absolutely. I love Boys of Summer, too. I love a good, I just love
Dude,
a
LFO
good fucking.
Did, yeah.
That's Summer Girls.
Oh, sorry.
Boys of Summer is
the yeah, the
Don
shitty
Henley
song
Joe,
about
yeah.
baseball that I don't care about. Yeah. But then there was a cool cover, too. No, but, like, when LFO Summer Girls comes on, that's, like, my jam.
Yeah.
When, okay, it's in L.A.
Chinese food makes him sick. Like,
right,
he didn't steal
back.
The shrimp fried
He didn't
rice.
Steal that shit, no. Yeah. But he will steal your girl like he stole your bike. You know what I mean? And so, like, just...
I fucking hate you so much.
I know you do. And that's why you love me. because New Kids on the Block.
Bunch of heads.
It's not their fault, dude. What did Donnie ever do? The Chinese food made him sick. It wasn't Donnie.
Do you know what Sleeper and KOTB song? I love Cover Girl. Oh, she's my cover girl. That song does not get a lot of play.
No, I mean, that was, I still remember that shit. I remember like walking into a Gadzooks like 6 years old, and that was like the flyness. I was just on our friend Eden's podcast talking about Backstreet Boys, and like, you know, I want it that way. I couldn't think of a more terrible pop general manufactured miserable song.
Makes no sense.
But I'll listen to that shit before I'll listen to Revolver, any Beatles tune, or any like
that's
whatever.
Something
like,
I gotta say.
Because that song, I fell in love with a girl to that song at a pool party at this other girl's house. That was fantastic. And so that's the song I'm gonna take to my fucking grave. Not like, oh my god, here's the greatest hits of, you know, Fleetwood Mac, or here's this like really cool like alt song that no one like cool likes.
That's the other thing too, is that you have to really like, while we're here and in these moments, you have to live them. Like, you just do. Like Steven just genuinely fucking made me laugh so hard with like throwing some LFO. We both love 311 for that reason. There are certain things.
Well, it's
because
we both come original.
We come original. Like, we're all mixed up for sure, but ultimately
it's
Amber
in
color
here.
Yeah,
because
it's
our
all
energy.
Pure. It's all pure Amber at this.
I honestly didn't know them either. I just had to like grow up around
white people.
That's
the 1% that Steven and I belong to. Our 1%, our version of the 1% is people that know more than one 311 song.
No, but I was just talking to our friend Eden, and I was talking about the very first Coachella. I came out to LA, and all my friends there, we had two flyers, like these two flyers for these two different parties came out. 311 Cypress Hill Smokeout or Coachella.
Yeah.
And I was like, Coachella, guys. And they're like, fucking 311 it is. Let's all go watch fucking Insane in the Membrane. Like, let's all fucking let's get insane. And I'm like, I mean, I remember sitting on a football field, like doing mushrooms in an empty football stadium of Mark Farina, like playing a fucking record on loop. And I was like, okay, well, I hope that they're all coming original over there, because fuck those guys. Like, I'm not going to listen to Slipknot, not now, not ever. Not ironically, I will not eat green eggs.
Yeah. You know? So I will say that, like, listen to the fucking pure joy that we have had in the last minute and a half. This is the kind of pure joy that only comes with having no fucking self-esteem. So I must tell you, just throw your hands up to the gods of pop culture and just live in it. Because once this moment passes, you will never enjoy Delicate the way that you are now, because it's having a fucking moment and you're living it. And you'll, because of that, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, you'll be laughing your fucking ass off at how many times you watched that video, or the time you like fucking cried because your Taylor Swift job interview routine didn't work or whatever. Like, these are the moments that fucking make up our life. So just live in it and enjoy it, because life is really devoid of any sort of joy, and you should catch it wherever you can. Like, there's just no, and fuck the Beatles.
Honestly,
I'm tired of them.
I'm so tired.
I've been listening.
George Martin made that band, anyways.
Harrison?
No.
Okay. I was like, honey,
engineer,
babe. No, but I will tell you this: is that for real? I've been listening to the Beatles my whole life. They don't move the needle for me anymore. But you put on a fucking Taylor banger like Dress, and I am there, bitch.
I can tell you, you can go to like the coolest party in LA right now, which is an emo night, and it's not going to be Arcade Fire or like
it's all Saves the Day, like fucking.
It's going to be Taking Back Sunday,
brand new
or whatever. Yeah. Like, the Knife is going to come on, and people are going to lose their fucking mind. It's not going to be, you know, Elliot Smith. Like, that's great music to kill yourself to, but it's not going to fucking set you off.
Yeah, like literally catch me listening to Elliot Smith. Never. Like, I...
Needle in there.
No. No, not for me. Like, literally not for me.
Not it. No. Not me too.
And I do love people that like are like, yeah, fucking Elliot Smith. I'm like, do you really listen to Elliot? Do you really enjoy, like, turn on an Elliot Smith record and like fucking...
Right, like, I'm going to sit down and like transcribe these Bob Dylan lyrics.
If I'm
going
to listen
really,
to a moody bitch, I want
like
some Fiona Apple, or I want nothing. I'm going to
fucking,
snort
Pointer Sisters,
Fiona Apple's
like,
ashes.
Honestly, like...
I don't mind like a Mary J. moment.
Oh, no, that's... I'm going down? Are you kidding me? Right now. Like, I... Fuck. Ed and I would scream sing I'm Going Down, like, all over LA.
Right. And salt and pepper, I'll take any day of the week.
Any day of the week. Day. And so, and at one time,
so all Lauren Hill moment. I love a Lauren
Well,
Hill.
I mean, and at one time in our culture, all of these things that we're mentioning were laughable to large portions of the population. And frankly, they missed out. Like when I look at my record collection, it is salt and pepper, Lauren Hill, the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. Like it is those things that I'm like, that's what I want to listen to on a Saturday night when I'm like cooking and drinking wine. Do you want my Beverly Hills Cop record? Is that why you're being quiet?
No, I love the Pointer Sisters, and I've got like deep ingrained memories to the Beverly Hills soundtrack, Beverly Hills Cop 2 soundtrack. I mean, it goes right from Bob Seger into the Pointer Sisters, and yeah. Like, I feel it all.
Sister Act 2. Speaking of Feist, bangers.
Sister Act 2.
So good. I remember seeing that.
No, I mean, I was just, okay, you know what? A canonical. I'm a Sister Act 1. I saw it with my grandma. And like all those hits,
so good.
Like, you know,
that original Sister Act soundtrack was one of my, it was my first tape.
But
it was
no
the first
one,
thing I bought with my own money.
These fucking kids with their streams now and their fucking SoundCloud rappers are never going to know what it was like to have to go and buy a compilation soundtrack. Because like that's the only way that you're going to get that fucking track. Like, oh my God, this one soundtrack to this movie has like three good songs on it from different people. Like, fuck, my head's gonna explode. Yeah, I'd have to spend $100 on cassettes to like put that mixtape together.
Can we talk about what the next thing is gonna be? Because Lil isn't a big saturation here.
Lil over
like, where
Lil
we
over
had
it.
I mean, Lil was like, Lil Kim was like, that was like, okay, wow, like someone put Lil in front of their name. That's funny. But now we got Lil Peep, Lil Yachty, fucking Lil Peep passed. What's his face? The one who looks like he's a little pump. Like we got all. We're done with the Lils. What's next? What's next? We've got some Youngs out there. Young, I don't mind. I don't think we have an over.
I mean, I'm just waiting for Big to come up. You know,
Big.
Yeah, I mean, I've
Big
spent
Papa.
My whole life. Well,
well
no,
we need more
I mean,
Bigs.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
we've got Big Sean.
But like,
Big Sean. We've
right?
got
Fat Pun.
Fat Pun
still around. Fat Joe.
Fat Joe. Fat Pun was heaven.
Wow. Big Pun.
Oh, Big Pun.
Fat Joe, Big Pun.
Oh, you said Fat Pun.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not. Did
I can literally rewind the tape if you want.
Ooh,
to.
Ooh, fuck it, Christina's. Oh, or Christina's threatening a rewind on you. Big
but,
Pun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course. It's no, because we went from Big Sean to Big Pun to Fat Joe.
You did say Fat Pun, but
okay,
that's fine.
Yeah. No,
I know.
Pun.
I was like, what are y'all talking about?
Can I tell you something? Fat Joe's What's Love has such a fucking dear place in my heart. Like, when
up.
I went to Montreal
that's
for
your, so
$89.
So Fat Joe's your Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I never had any shame in that game.
Oh, well, good.
I was listening to, like, it's jams that you listen to in high school that, like, galvanize memories for you. So I was listening to, you
hey,
know,
Ma.
That song that's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Never Leave uh-oh. You. Lumity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's on the tip of my tongue at any given moment. Yeah, trust me, Lumity is a, and I will tell you, Omri's one thing, if you fucking put that on at a party, everyone
oh, yeah.
loses their minds. They
Dude,
lose their minds.
On,
I love one thing.
Put on Xtina, yeah. Put on What a Girl Wants.
Oh, forget
the
it.
The movie, I mean the movie.
The Mel Gibson film?
No,
no,
the
that's
Amanda
What
Bynes
Women
film.
Want.
Oh,
film,
what's
yeah.
What a Girl Wants?
That's amazing. That's Nancy Myers.
Isn't
that's
it
how
like
I learned to
Waiting
love.
Waiting for Godot retold vis-a-vis like Amanda Bynes.
What isn't Waiting for Godot retold? Besides
What
every
a Girl Wants.
It's when she dresses in
no,
like
yeah,
she dresses
she
up as a man in a private
a,
school.
As a soccer
no.
player?
No, that's
that's
like,
What a Man or something.
that's You Want a Man. Yes,
Juwan
I want a man. No.
That's when she finds out that her dad is like a prince or
correct.
Something.
Correct.
Like
what's
yeah.
What a Girl Wants?
What a Girl Wants is she flies to England and her dad's a prince. It's like King Ralph
it's Amanda
retold,
Bynes.
But Amanda Bynes in the John Goodman role.
Good for her.
Who plays the dad? It was like a famous.
He's
an
ugly
Colin
British
Firth.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you love that Dr. Drew was in the Mary-Kate and Ashley moment? Movie,
you mean
New York
Mary-Kate
Minute?
And Ashley put a New York Minute? Yeah, I saw that in theaters.
Okay, same. But like, I mean, you know, I've got the Olsen Twins tattooed on my body. This is where Steven and I get sick because we're like trying to outdo each other on the most pathetic thing that can come out of your mouth. But
I know you guys were older
when that movie came out. Like
older when
I still
fucking
don't
the
know.
Lizzie McGuire
I
movie came
don't
out too.
Know
what's
how
your
old
point?
Steven is. Steven has never told me how old he is.
And that's okay.
Ever.
And
ever. Okay. Steven could be 45. I
if
have no
I
fucking
told
idea.
You how old I was, it would be inappropriate to be sitting in Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's In the New York Minute.
I just like snarfed all over myself.
It came out in 2004.
I'm just saying. No, I went to see it at CineFamily at the re-release, the Criterion.
You're sick. Just can't.
That's problematic.
But like, I do have to say that it's wild to think about Dr. Drew, who we were then later supposed to take as a credible specialist as he helped Kanicki from Greece work through his crippling drug addiction.
I mean, Jack Osborne also, but
I rewatched.
I mean, Jack Osborne was in the movie; has nothing to do with.
I rewatched season one of Celebrity Rehab recently in an attempt to like do it for Emotionally Broken Psychos, and it's too dark. Like it's, and by too dark, I mean like it's. I cannot believe that shit was on television.
There are so many places where we vary, and one is I've never seen a reality show. Like I've, you know, you could open up a suitcase of money in front of me, and I couldn't pick a Jenner out of a fucking lineup, or I couldn't name a single housewife of wherever fucking
well,
Fontana.
I'm really glad you're proud of yourself
but,
for that.
Everyone
has to have something.
No, that's my thing. But we definitely have Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen in common. And whoever thought when Dr. Drew was like so progressive in the 90s with Adam Carolla, both of them would become like crazy fucking Trump supporting like
neocons. He's a Trump supporter?
I mean, he's a libertarian. I think basically he's just like stingy. Like he wants to keep his money. But the Adam and Dr. Drew show came back in podcast form, and like our friend Allison Rosen had her like professional breakup with Adam, and so I kind of stopped listening to all of his stuff and turned it on, and it's all this like kind of side eye weird like right center stuff of, you know, I'm not going to say Hillary Clinton isn't fit to be president, but she looks a little peaked on TV. And it's like, yo, Dr. Drew, like, what the fuck is your problem? Bro?
What's the point
like,
of
get
even
on the winning team.
That? Like, what?
I think he just wanted to, like, scoop, like, 3% off of his bottom line because
the darkest
he's making
part of
a lot
that,
of money.
Too, is that, like, it's the, it is everyone who is right of center or even right of the direct left that is making the drug problem in this country worse. So the irony in that is not lost on me. But let's take our next call, and I'm going to go blow my nose.
Hey, Malls. Hey, Christina and guests, and hey, Wags. My name is Ashley, and I've been listening to your show for about a year, so I guess I'm a kind of a new listener. But anyway, love the show. And I decided to call in. So here's my question. I'll get right to it. So I have a best friend. We've been best friends for probably about 12 years. Side note, I'm in my early 30s. So make a long story short, we were going out somewhere and I usually let her borrow my jewelry a lot because she never really has anything, which is also kind of annoying, but it's my best friend. So whatever. So she ended up putting on one necklace, which I really didn't care about. I've had it for a while. It wasn't a big deal. That's the one I thought she wore. Come to find out, when we actually get to the bar, I noticed that she ended up switching the necklace out for a necklace that was really personal to me, which was a gift from someone. A sentimental gift, actually. But I didn't know she had it on, but didn't make a big deal out of it. Long story short, she didn't give me the necklace back that night, and she took a long time to return the necklace. Probably about maybe a month and a half to almost 2 months. And I'm like, bitch, where's the necklace? So I finally had a meeting up with her. She hands me this box. And as she's handing me the necklace, she's like, girl, you know, I'm really sorry. It took a long time to get the necklace back, but I lost the chain piece of the necklace. But here's like the, you know, little charm. It was like a Swarovski crystal heart charm. So she said that she'd replace the chain part of the necklace. I mean, it's not like it's super expensive. I mean, I guess it was like maybe $100 and something. I mean, I'm not sure it was a gift. The point about it is I just was annoyed because, A, you took almost 2 months to return something to me and you could have told me that it was broken. And then when you did return it to me, you didn't even replace the chain. You told me that you were going to replace the chain. And now we're about 3 weeks later, still haven't gotten my chain replaced. Sidebar. I don't know if this is petty or not, but I think it's relevant to the story. This is like the really cheap friend to where every time we go out to eat and, you know, everyone usually splits the bill. She always has an issue with splitting the bill. She never wants to split it. She counts how many drinks she's had. And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. But I hope I don't sound like a bitch. Please advise.
revoke your hello to Wags because he does not deserve it today. He's not being spoken to. We're not acknowledging him in the family while he sits on my lap. But there was a couple of things you said in here that had me a little bit triggered. And when you shine a light on the fact that you're 30, it's extra dark because a lot of the things that you're describing are behaviors that you dealt with in college. Like I dealt with in college or in my early 20s when we were all broke and like we were struggling, and contextually it all made a lot more sense. Not to say that like you can't be in your 30s and struggling with these things, but you kind of learn how to finesse a situation when you hit a certain age so that you're not being a fucking tacky monster. Like if you're going to go out and say like, I have to count my drinks because of I only have X amount of dollars, like make that known in advance. Don't put everyone through the check hitting the table and then being like, I know we were going to divide this six ways, but I would like to like say that I only owe $22.48.
I actually have stopped going to group dinners because of that behavior.
Yeah. And whenever, but you, the thing with us too, is that like, you're very comfortable like saying to me like, oh, like I'm saving right now. And then to which case, like a lot of times I'll just be like, well, I just wanted to enjoy your company. So like, I'll pick up the tab. No big deal. I know you'll hit me back when you can. Like you'll get my dinner sometime. But this is the thing, is that you've brought up several things that are super huge triggers for me individually, because there's some things that I've been taught in my life and I've seen in my life that are overall just, at the time, they seemed like, this is annoying, that was rude, whatever. But ultimately, it's a sign of how your friend thinks of you. You know, there is that person in your life that's going to borrow your favorite top and return it to you with a stain on it. And that person does that because they don't give a shit about you. Like, you are someone that has taught them that you are generous, and they've seen that they can push the limit with you.
Yeah.
I have had friends that have gone into my closet and put on a piece of my jewelry or put on something of mine and not bothered to return it, not bothered to say, hey, I'm going to borrow this for the indefinite future and I'll return it to you on my own like leisure. I've had friends return things broken. I've had friends never say anything at all and had to go to them and be like, hey, do you have my thing? I do remember my grandmother used to have an expression, never a borrower nor a lender be. So like she would always say, like, you don't borrow people's shit and you don't give your shit out. Like, you basically, everyone has what's theirs and they have what's theirs and that's it. And there, I think there's a lot of like notions that are really fair, which is like in a group setting or if people are buying shit that's trendy, like it does make sense to swap shit with your girlfriends. But there are things in everyone's life that are sentimental and that deserve to be on a higher tier. And knowing that this necklace was sentimental to you, I think that at the time the move would have been to say, before she even helped herself, like, whenever like someone stays at my house, for example, I'm like, literally anything you want in this house is yours, but please don't use my face products, because they're my face products and they're fucking expensive and they're the thing that I invest my money in. Like, that is how I feel about that. But I make it known to the person. And if you say like, you can borrow anything you want in my closet, but this necklace and the things in this box are really sentimental to me, and so I don't want to lend them out. That's, there's a difference between the junk jewelry and then something that, you know, the price doesn't matter. If it's a necklace from your high school boyfriend or a friend that's passed or a family member, the actual price of it doesn't matter. It's about, as you said, the sentimental value and having respect for your friend, having respect for the fact that that came from a part of your life that really means something to you. I think that moving forward, this is someone that if I were you, I would start to phase out, because even if they are a good person ultimately and that they're going through a rough time that has made them be act selfishly, that it's not your problem to deal with it. And maybe they will reintegrate into your life when they're in a better position. And like, you'll say, okay, the good validating or the things that were great about this person still exist, but now they're not in that hungry, scrappy place anymore where they're going to fuck with my life and my money in order to like make themselves feel better.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird because usually when I've been in a spot where I've been like in a scrape, it's like I'm so humbled by it. And yeah, I'm just like, thank you for
well,
even
we're
just doing
on
the
that side of history,
me.
I think. I mean, this is where your listeners can fast forward because I'm going to talk for a second. But no, I'm with your grandma. Like, grandma has a fucking clue. Like, don't borrow, don't lend. Or if you do, know that the second you lend something out, that's not yours anymore.
You'll never
like
see it again.
Well, just treat it like you're never going to see it. If you let someone borrow money, I'm putting borrows in quotes, you gave them money. If they pay you back, that's like a nice treat. That's like finding a dollar in a jacket pocket, but like that's not your money anymore. And it's completely different if someone goes and helps himself to like a little treat in your closet. That's not cool. Like if you know, they're like, oh, hey, I'm going to go, you know, use the powder room, and you catch them like grabbing your shit and like putting like layers on. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But if you're going to lend something to someone, just expect you're never getting it back. And yeah, don't lend like, oh, this was, you know, the guy I took to prom died in a fiery car wreck, and he was clenching this, you know, necklace in his fucking crispy hands, and they pulled it from his hands and gave it to me and said I was his only true love. And so yeah, my girl took it out to the fucking club on a Saturday night and like spilled some shit on it and lost it. Like, that's stupid. Don't
do that. The only line I would draw for this girl is that just know that your generosity will not necessarily be returned and you will be punished for it.
Well, going back to we're martyrs, because that's just like our personal brand.
Yeah.
You are either a giver or a taker in life. And, yeah. You know, I don't like to draw lines like that, but there are people who are going to take shit and there are people who give. And like, we give selflessly, except for this little part where we get to be martyrs about it, but we give and other people take. And, you know,
well,
like,
it's also a pride. I mean, there is something selfish about it, because it's like a pride in being like, I will, what's mine is yours. You
right.
Know what
and
I mean?
It's like, I've got this nice, it's nice to say, I've got this nice thing and I'd like to share it. Like, yeah, if you and your girls all go out and like, I'll pick up the, you know, the Gia the Label spring summer 2018 collection. You each get a piece. That's not yours. That's communal. Do your thing. But like, don't share out a thing. You know, I'll put my friend Emily. I love my friend Emily on blast, because I was at a party at Chateau and pulled off this $1,000 Coogee vintage sweater because she was cold and she looked, I mean, it's my size. It's like manatee sized, but it looked like a baller dress on her. And she put this around and like sashayed around the party in my Coogee sweater. And it was cold and we were on the balcony of the penthouse. And she goes home with my sweater and call her up a couple days later. Hey, could I grab that sweater? You know, that's like, that's my Biggie sweater. That's literally the notorious big Coogee sweater. Oh, hey, yeah, let me meet you. And then ghosts, and then ghosts. And I call her like 2 weeks. Hey, what's up? Oh, you know, I threw that in the trunk of my car that I had shipped back to my parents' house in Long Island. And the mechanic in Long Island threw away the car and your sweater's gone. It's like, wow, like that story took a fucking twist quicker than like shrimp fried rice. But also, I knew better. Like the second I took that off, it was yours, so whatever. The cheap people, like, just to switch back to that part, you
but
know,
see, that's
it,
the thing is, like, that's like next, that's a little next level. And I will say that you will run into people, like, it sounds like this girl, it sounds like your friend Emily, are a little bit next level, where it's like, not only do I not care that you lent me that, it's not even that, like, I spilled something on it or whatever else. It's like, boy, that shit is fucking gone. Like, yeah, your sweater, like, is in the ocean. And
legitimately,
like,
douse it in fucking napalm and light it up, because that's not yours.
And your girl peace. Came home drunk from the club, fucking probably tried to pull her Fashion Nova dress over her head, and like the fucking chain snapped. And like, that she wasn't being careful with it. And it's like, that is that's a level of disrespect that is, you know, one, this is sounds like someone you don't want to party with. One, she's cheap. Two, it sounds like she's sloppy. She seems very self-motivated.
Yeah, don't be the sloppy person.
But this is like, you guys are too old for this. Like in college, I think this is something that I look back and I cringe at, like, some of the times where I was just like, I was cheap, or like I partook in something that I couldn't necessarily afford. And then everyone else was like, oh, I have to pay an extra $6 because malls came along or whatever. That is like, those are things that in my youth, I think I did. And I look back on that and actually, if anything, I've probably paid dearly for it, because I've got through long stages of literally paying for everyone, trying to reconcile. That's not true. Trying to reconcile guilt. And like, it's just it is what it is. And you'll think you'll be better off with this person out of your life. And the best way to do it, because there was no direct offense, and it was also a behavior of yours that needed to be corrected, where it's like you kind of hadn't laid down a boundary. Like you.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like also Christina says, like, God, being humble, like having humility in that situation. If I borrowed something from someone and broke it, I would buy them two. The next day I'd be at their house, have like gift wrap delivered. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Or like, be like, I'll step up and like, we do a
these monsters
plan.
Were like, oh, I broke your shit. Sorry. Sucks.
Be
yeah,
like,
let me grab another one.
Or like, even a normal person would go to you and say, listen, I don't have the money for this right now, but can I give you like $10 a week for the next like 5 weeks or something to get you a new chain. Like,
but these people just don't think like us. They're like, it's like they're just a different species.
I think as you get older, you realize the shame of making up a lie is greater than the shame of not being able to afford something. And when you're younger, right. I think the opposite is true. You get caught up a lot in being like broke.
I remember not being able to like admit to someone that I couldn't go to a movie because I didn't have money. And I was like literally throwing out excuses that were like larger than life. And like looking back on it, what would the shame have been in really just being like, oh, I don't have cash to go get a to see a movie right now? Like, would that
But that's
really-
a poor people thing. Like, that's something that I think we internalize. I don't know. Not speaking for you guys, but like I was raised so poor. And
totally.
Like, you know, it was, oh my, this keeping up with, you know, the homies, the Joneses. Like, I can't possibly, if they all go to the movie without me, they're going to talk about me at the movie. They're going to talk about how poor I am. I've got to show up like, you know, this guy throws away Lacoste shirts like they're fucking Kleenex. And I'm going to save a whole summer so I can buy one like knockoff and sew my own little alligator on it. And like, that's how I'm going to do, because we, you know, we're socialized to think that we have to fit in and belong. And we spend our whole life in debt, not to like go into that social thing, but like we spend our whole life in debt trying to catch up. Like, oh my God, I'm gonna save, you know, for 2 weeks to go to this $300 dinner with this bro at Mastro's, and like he's gonna get 8 bottles of you know, Pierre Jouet, and it's like, oh fuck, man, like I didn't plan for you having like disposable like fuck you money to light on fire.
Right.
Like I planned for, I'm gonna save a lot and try to make this special, and like
I'm gonna split
this
a steak
so
with my friend and have like
but
a drink.
I will say this about being those people. If you're going to have your birthday at Mastro's, don't fucking have like the communal pot in the middle. Everyone throws in $6. Like, you pay for everyone. Like if you can't afford paying for everyone, that's chill. Go to fucking Chuck E. Cheese. Go hang out with your homies and share some slices and do that. But like, don't, I've spent my whole life hating that person who's like, oh my God, guys, it's my birthday. Now everyone take out like
everyone
a lease
has
on
to
your
throw
car.
It. It's only
like,
$200.
Mortgage your shit. Yeah. We're all going to fly to Vegas. Like, no big.
And what, my cell phone gets turned off?
Yeah,
like so that we can all go to the London for your birthday?
Sorry,
like,
I don't have hot water this month because, yeah, you drank a couple of Appletinis. Like, fuck those people.
Well, yeah, and then I think you see, like, as you go through your 20s, like, people get laid off. People have ups and downs. People suffer something, like, really, like, a medical bill that they have to pay for that really puts them out. And they can't afford things. And they have to take, like, an Uber job
or
something like
that. But this is the thing, is that, like, when we were at our 20s, being really, really fucking dirt poor and broke in this city by ourselves, there was kind of a beauty to it because like it made us get creative. And what's and so by the time that we were a little bit older and like we could say like, okay, I can comfortably pay my rent this month. It's a little bit of a fucking stretch, but like at least I can throw it. At least I can ensure that my cell phone will stay on and that I can like keep a roof over my head. And it's not going to be like, fuck, is the landlord going to knock? That was like me around the age of like 31. Like I hadn't sold the company yet. I had kind of blown through my two broke girls money. I wasn't completely broke yet, but I definitely was fucking like I was skidding by every month. And it was rough. And it was like it was a big learning lesson. But at the same time, I had the lessons of being broke in my 20s and having to get creative with like side hustles. I had the experience of having money and seeing that it didn't really make me happier. If anything, it fucking drained me and was like really just not worth it in a lot of ways. So I feel like you are this age now where for her, it's really fucking unfortunate that she's still there. And it's only because of the kindness of others that she is still there. Because
well, yes and no, but like also she's just taking what people leave on the table for her.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's like it's her bad for, you know, being the person who takes, but it's their bad for being the people who like
exactly.
Let her get by with that.
And so that's what I mean by like it's because others have given her the opportunity.
She lives in a gilded cage of their generosity.
And unfortunately that's you. And so that's where you have to start to draw some hard lines in your life.
Love.
And it's also about boundaries and respect, because look at where we are now. She is sailing about her life, probably felt guilty for the 2 months she knew the necklace was broken and was hoping you wouldn't say anything. And then, you know, here we are on the other side of it. You've forgiven her. She doesn't even probably realize how big of a deal this was to you. And maybe if she does, she's kind of like floated on the fact that you haven't been vocal about it.
Well, it's forgive and forget. And you don't really forgive until you forget.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, is that like when I hear kids in their 20s or whatever complain about money or struggling or whatever, I have to stop myself from trying to fix the problem, because when I look back on it, no one ever really fucking helped me. Like, I had friends that were nice and like would make sure, like, be like, oh, like, let me get you dinner or something tonight. Once in a while, people would, or be like, let me drive you to Trader Joe's, or like, people were very generous. You were very generous with me with rides when I didn't have a car. So were you. And like, that's one thing. But it's like, no one, when I was like stressing about paying my rent and like not sleeping and like just fucking terrified and hadn't been to a doctor in 6 years, no one was like, oh, Molly, do you need to borrow $500? Like, no one ever said that to me. Like,
you know what though?
Let me have asked.
No.
Fuck no. God,
but
no.
Like, but
that's
like,
what I'm saying, like, maybe if.
But let me blow.
But
like,
I think
let
that
me blow
there are some
the
people out
this.
There that are, when you are overly, because I'm telling you that like when I see someone struggling, my thing is to be like, do you need something?
Yeah. But
I have
not
to, I have
them.
To
like,
stop
I
myself
I like
and realize
guy.
No one helped me. And so, and there was a reason for
but
that.
You wouldn't have done the TV show. You wouldn't have started your company if someone said, here's enough to skate by and chill in your one bedroom in Koreatown. Like, that's, it's like, there's
a
Stevie Wonder song, Living for the City. It's like, I've got just enough money. It's like being on methadone. Like, I've got just enough money to live in my little cell, like my little prison of a home that I've made, and get by. And, you know, everything good or, you know, great I've ever done has been my back against the wall, being in a place where I'm living in my car. So I better figure this fucking thing out.
Yeah.
Or I, you know, I'm not paying my rent this month and there's no one to call. Like, I can't pick up the bat phone. I don't have a family. Like, I don't have a parent to bail me out, or, you know, I would rather live under a bridge and did than go to some rich friend and be like, hey, bro, like, I know that you, you know, pissed this away last night in gin and tonics, and like, that could literally pay my rent for the month. I just couldn't do it. So that's how you, you know, I think that struggle makes for strength.
That would be the greatest gift you could give her, to be honest, is like, if the second that people stop fucking helping this girl out, who is apparently so used to generosity, she doesn't know when it's coming or going. Like, the best thing you can do for a person like this is to stop fucking helping them, because then she'll, that's the only time she'll learn how to help herself. It's the truth, is like, those years where you struggle are fucking fundamental. And the fact that she hasn't figured this out by 30 or near 30 is that's real and that's palpable. And that's something that you need to help her get to the other side of by not helping her.
I think also, just like to put a pin in it, it's like probably some insecurity there, because take a look in the mirror. Like, if you're spending months thinking about this $100 chain, like, you know, that's a dinner out on the town. That's something
I'll
like,
never forget.
Knock it off, because what's wrong with your life that you have to spend, you know, horsepower, you grind away hours a day for months thinking about this like low level malaise of someone with a $100 chain? Shit, man, that's like a parking ticket. Like, charge it to the game, move on.
Yeah, I'll never forget Ed telling me this article he read. He's like, oh, I read an article in Vanity Fair. He's like, this guy, he's like a people pleaser. And like, we were really young, so like, we didn't really have like a lot of self-help vocabulary in place. And he was kind of introducing this theory to me. And he was like, this guy, he's like a people pleaser. And he put himself $40,000 in debt, just like picking up the tab and like, you know, being like, oh, I'll get the plane ticket and I'll do this. And like, there is, for a lot of us out there, and I would say I fall more into this category. I would say at different times of my life, I've probably been more on the taker category for sure. But I also have always had like this inherent sort of, if I have it, it's also yours sort of attitude. And it's fucked me. It's fucked all the people. I've known so many people. It's just fucked to be like, what's mine is yours, because someday what the yours is, you're going to need that. And
yeah, you're not helping anybody.
It's at like, your expense.
Yeah. If you can't swim, don't jump in the pool to save somebody, because now you got two drowning people.
Yeah. Damn, boy. All right. Let's take our next call and let's wrap this shit up.
Hi, Malls, Christina, and guest. Last time I called, I was told that I sounded like a frown, and that's totally true and valid. Thank you for pointing that out. But I don't really have a question today. I just really, really, really want Mother May I Sleep With podcast back. I love the Lifetime podcast. I love Lifetime movies. And that podcast is my favorite thing, my favorite podcast I subscribe to. I'm already a Patreon contributor. I want to get the word out. I just love your podcast. Even if it doesn't get on the show, I want you to know that I appreciate and love Mother May I Sleep With podcast. So thank you, Malls, for all that you do. Christina, you are wonderful and magical. My dog is barking, so I must go. I just want Molly to know. And Christina, I love the client list and the girl he met online. Those episodes are phenomenal. I just really love the Lifetime podcast. Thank you and goodbye.
Why do people keep saying guest? My name's not guest. I know my name is Steven.
Yeah, I know my first name is Steven. By the way, the guy who played Steven in that movie, you're so fucking funny. I hate you, though. But, like, you're so funny.
I'm curious. If someone were, if your celebrity was going to play you in a Lifetime movie, Steven, who would you pick?
Angelina Jolie.
Same. No, I would want Diane Wiest to play me. Be a later chapter of my life. Let's fast forward all that.
No, Diane Wiest should play you now.
I know.
Honestly, Morgan Freeman. She's like, up for the job. He can really step out of himself.
And play me?
Yeah, no, me.
Oh, okay.
He can lose himself in that character.
Yeah, I could see him losing himself for sure. well, wait, so...
Okay. Everyone thought I was going to say Ethan Suplee.
First of all, you've come up really far on sounding like the frown emoji. And by that, I'm just kidding. You still sound like a frown. But I appreciate
it. I was like, why is Eeyore calling in? Eeyore is a Patreon subscriber.
And we appreciate that donation.
No, we love you. But here, let me throw this. No one else can say this. So I'm just going to speak up for a moment. Like, you're a Patreon. That means you're a Patreon. That doesn't mean you own anyone here.
No,
you can't tell anyone what to do. Like, you can't. Yeah, we get it. Like, that's very sweet. But, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I'm just saying, like, that's sweet of you. Keep subscribing, like, and subribe, follow, you know, download.
You should worry more about having your tail nailed back on.
No, she's an amazing person, but also, like, you know.
No,
you don't get a license to start asking, making demands around here.
I don't think she thought that. And here's the thing, is that the reality is that it has been, I think it was 6 months or something since we aired the last episode. I just want to gently remind you that we were able to do a slightly faster turnaround in the first season or the second season because I wasn't doing as much then. I have 3 podcasts. The thing is that I ultimately... And this is just full transparency. I have, which I don't necessarily owe anyone, but I'll do it for the sake of it. And also because why the fuck not? I am now working with Lifetime on the show, which is like basically it's almost nothing. It doesn't even really cover the cost to produce the show. But it's enough that I really value that they are behind the show in any capacity at all, the Lifetime Movie Club. And specifically, it's not Lifetime TV. It's LifetimeMovieClub.com/malls for a free month. But once I enter into a situation with a company, there you owe things on time. You can't, especially with a company like Lifetime Movie Club, which does not sponsor any other podcasts. They don't work in this space. When I tell you that, I might as well call them and say, I would like you to broadcast something on the planet Mars. Like, they might as well. I probably would get more money if I was doing that because they could at least make sense of it. They don't really understand the whole podcast world. So I have to do a more traditional, as if it was television or something, ad deal with them. And that means that I have to hit my weeks every single Sunday with scheduled breaks in advance. And I think we had one episode that aired off the schedule, and I was really afraid that they were going to pull out altogether. Now, come to find out, they really probably don't give a fuck about us either way, so that they weren't really tuned in. But I will tell you that my responsibility to have this show come out every Sunday is my first concern when it comes to bringing out a new season. The other side of it is that I've been dealing with like some pretty severe depression, like full transparency. I like switched my medication. I have just been dealing with some personal stuff this year. And I'm coming out on the other side of it now. So I do feel optimistic that in the next like couple months, we'll be launching a new season. But the absolute like amount of time and legwork it takes for me personally, but then also in terms of getting a guest on board for each episode and really like explaining to them what the time commitment is that it's like, you know, most podcasts you come in, you do 90 minutes, you're out. Like you are not concerned with the production. You're not concerned with familiarizing yourself with material or anything like that. This really requires you to watch the movie at least once at home and then come to my house for like sometimes 3.5 hours and discuss a movie. And that is a big ask of a guest. And I only want to do better in terms of bringing you guests back that you enjoyed previously and getting bigger guests to help grow the show and guests that are interesting and unique voices. Someone like Jennifer Neese, someone like Christina, who isn't necessarily on a lot of podcasts as a guest, but is a really brings a lot to the table. So those are not always easy things to manage in terms of getting that full spectrum of guests, the full spectrum of movies, also getting that time out of me and making sure mm-hmm. that I have the time available. And of course, biggest shout out ever to Sammy and Steven, who are there to not just record the episodes, but edit the episodes, which is an incredibly laborious task that honestly, I feel a sincere and extreme amount of guilt for the amount of money I pay them for the amount of work that they do. I've worked in freelance situations like they have before and seen that when you break down the hourly rate of what they're making or what I've been making in certain situations, it's not minimum wage. So I am very conscious of the fact that there are multiple hoops to jump through. If this was something like Emotionally Broken Psychos, we were talking about how I don't always get those episodes in on time or whatever, or how occasionally we'll take a break from Please Advise or whatever. If that was this conversation, it would be a totally different conversation because that's on me. This is like such a combined group effort where there's real money involved, there's patrons involved, there's people that rely on this content. I do take it seriously, and there's only 15 episodes a season, and because of that, I really feel the need to put my all into it. There's nothing I feel more guilty about than the episodes where I've been off, like when Allie Ward's episode after the election, where I basically was just so fucking bombed, I don't even think I was making sense. Like, I was just on another planet punishing myself because of the state of our union. So I just wanted to like say, I hear you. I hear about this a lot. If anything, I am obviously hand-wringing and over-explaining myself right now because I understand what it's like to love something and be a fan of something and be like, where is this? And have people be like, I don't know. And I'm not saying we're Black Mirror season 4 over here, but I am saying that like where it's like, when the fuck is my favorite show coming back? But at the same time, much like Black Mirror, there's a fucking limited run. You don't know when it's going to drop. There's only a certain amount. Everything is standstill. There's no fucking arc. Like, it is a hard show for me to produce. That's my personal Black Mirror journey.
I honestly don't think people know how much goes into on your end in terms of the production.
It's 40 hours an episode. Yeah. Like, it's 40 hours an episode. And, like, that is a work week. And I also have other things I do. Like, I'm a single woman who's maintaining a home. It's like fucking crazy in here right now. I have a dog. I have fucking 2 other podcasts. I produce several podcasts. I'm actively looking for writing work in terms of getting into a writer's room again. Like, there are things that I have to do, meetings I have to go to, fucking doctors, everything. We all have shit we have to do in our lives. This is, for me, it's like extreme hobbyism. And
Molly's got real problems, guys.
I don't, but like that's another reason why I'm also hand-wringing a little bit about this, because it's
just
not...
give the girl her fucking necklace back, man. Just replace her necklace.
It's an extreme hobby. That's the only way that I can really refer to like doing a podcast like that, because it's not lucrative for me. I get no glory. There's no fame.
It's for love of the game, and like it really is everything for love of the game. Has to be like that, and you know,
and it's
because
I love Lifetime movies too. And I will say that I think that we're working on getting another podcast up under the umbrella that will be Patreon only, that's not hosted by me, but will be focusing mostly on cheesy Christmas movies, Hallmark movies, because people often come to me and say, will you do a Hallmark movie? And it's like, no, I won't do a Hallmark movie because I don't fuck with Hallmark. But like Lifetime, that is where my heart is. So, you know, I'm about to like, fuck, it's Saturday night, baby. I might turn away from YouTube for a minute and watch a couple Lifetimes.
Gonna cozy up with the old Lifetime.
But here's the other thing with Lifetime, and a reason why I like get so, again, hand-wringing and emotional about it, is that Lifetime has fucking been the glue that has held my life together during some really fucking tough times. And I think that's also why I'm so passionate about it, because there have been times in my life where I've just been so broke or so depressed, and all I have done is work, eat, sleep, and watch Lifetime. So we had a little hiccup there, and for some reason, Stephen and I are talking about the heroin problem in Massachusetts now. But I will say that, like, I am here for you. I fucking feel you. These are movies that have held me together. I really appreciate anyone out there that is passionate enough about the subject matter or the way that my friends and I talk about it, that they will spend 2 hours plus with a podcast. That means a lot to me. You, Steven, I would love to have on this season.
I would love to be on.
And, do you like a Lifetime movie?
I like the sound of my own voice.
I want to get you on one of my favorite genres, which is naughty teen girls.
I want to get on some... Wait, what?
I know you do. By the way, I will say it fucking infuriates and disgusts me how every guy I know, like when I'm like, what kind of porn are you into? They're like, oh, I want to say, I'm like, teen girls. I know. It's teen girls.
Like, I love fucking like wet latex. Like I love to watch a girl in like a Mizuno swimsuit get oiled up. And
I just want a guy to say,
Japanese,
you know what?
Businessmen.
I'm into fucking POV facial assault. Like, that is what I'm into. And it's like, you know what? That's disgusting to me. But like, let's be real. 99% of the guys you know are fucking jerking off to girls that look teenage being assaulted by a dick in their mouth. That is absolutely what 99% of the guys we know are watching. Just admit it. We know. Come to terms. Come to terms with
the
baby.
That's kind of heteronormative.
Fucking throw your iPad out the window again. anyway, that was episode 161 of Please Advise. Stephen Myers, people can find you on Twitter at NotBrodyJenner. You can also find him on Instagram, ToastyCakes, the name we do not speak in this house normally. Stephen, anywhere else or anything else that people should know about you? Throwing any hot pool parties at the Standard or...
I mean, honestly, if you see me, just don't say hi.
There you go. Like, honestly, thank you. Like, that is the perfect response to that question. Honestly, don't. Yeah. There's
Your
no
quiet worry. Admiration is plenty.
You know what? Don't find me anywhere.
As a matter of fact, don't.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much. Christina Lopez is on internet. What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
She's on the internet at Christina Lopez. Oh, yeah. And you guys also... we need calls always. 323-450-7408. It is crucial to how we make our show. 323-450.
Can people text in their questions? Is that a thing?
Yeah. They can email. Yeah, I guess
they
can.
You know, we live in this modern era. People like
you
DM
can tweet
you
us a cue. You can sure. also email letters and voice notes to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com.
I'll text with
Snapchat you like
are people like hello? Like, do we get things like that?
No, it's usually like, oh, I need you to re-record something, so I'll send them a text.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll talk back. And
yeah. Oh, but people don't like text.
You're like, nobody talks back to Christina.
No one has texted us. So you can text us if you want, but yeah. You'll be talking
to
me, not Molly.
You know you're going to start getting some unwelcome.
I know.
Long.
Don't. If you need help, just call a hotline.
It's like, really interesting to me how people think that like
a thought line.
Not only can they get around the system, but that we will answer their questions on a personal and real-time basis. Yeah. Like, as if I'm a psychiatrist or something over here. Guys, I have a sinus infection that I barely want to get treated. I'm chain smoking in my own house. My dog fucking has facially assaulted all of our guests today.
Yeah, and this is
Sorry,
a fucking
guys,
podcast.
Really,
this isn't a clinic.
I can't stop talking about facial assault. Like, it is what it is. What do you want me to say?
I wonder what that says about you.
If you guys don't know what facial assault is, you might want to watch the documentary Hot Girls Wanted on Netflix. It was produced by
Rashida
Jones.
I want
to
watch this documentary called bukkake.pornhub.net.
Fucking boy.
Oh, man. All right. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Go do something good this week and tell people about our podcast as well. 323-450-7408. Be charitable. Be kind. Don't fuck it up. Bye.